Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Reality Nation every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KLF GT Palace Radio. It's better.
GT Palace Radio. GT Palace.
This is your girl, Shy Love, your Brooklyn actress, Alexander. Every Thursday, you know I'm tuning in to Reality of Relationships from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on YouTube television with the beautiful sister Belvin and the always coming number one, Shy Love. Shy Love.
GT Palace Radio.
Hey, hey, it's Lavina. And on Thursday night, I spend my time chilling with the Belvin, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality and Relationship on GT Palace Radio from 8 to 10. Call in with those relationship questions they got to answer. It's better be, better be, better be, better be, better be, better be.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you helped me down.
GQ Palace Radio.
Baby, you've always helped it down.
GQ Palace Radio.
Oh, yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go.
GQ Palace Radio.
That's right.
You stayed around.
GQ Palace Radio. Radio.
Whatever comes our way, you know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It must be Thursday night. Welcome to Reality and Relationships. I am your host, KL Belvin. And yes, I am doing this alone because y'all know the lovely wife is taking care of our lovely daughter, and she is on hiatus, and this is what we're doing. I got this. And you know what? I don't have a problem with that. You know, this is something that I enjoy doing, and the wife is handling her business. So you have me tonight. So thank you for tuning in. If you've tuned in from GQ Palace at Blog Talk Radio, and if you're listening in from your phone, 646-200-3838, thank you. And remember, if you want to get into the conversation or just offer something that you feel like talking about, just press the number 1 and we can get right into the conversation. Well, not right in. You got to speak to the host first. Got to make sure you're not crazy. You know, listen, we let crazy folks do their thing too. But you got to speak to the host first, and then the host will let me know that you're there. We'll bring you on air, and let's hold the conversation. And I'll say this, as I said it last week. Remember, a conversation is the dialogue between two people. Do not just get on and decide you're going to say what you're going to say and not listen. I will definitely listen to what you have to say. I will listen to your points, and I'll give you mine. But at the end of the day, this is a radio show. So remember that you have a couple of minutes, say what you got to say, and then we'll keep it moving. So no disrespect intended or will be offered. So tonight, wow. You know, I was thinking about tonight, you know, the theme for tonight, or actually the subject of tonight, and it's directed to the ladies because I am content on really trying to help the sisters in any way possible. I've started to make changes in the business brand and the things that I do because with the birth of my daughter and just some things that I have really had the chance to reflect on, I feel brothers have to start doing more to aid the sisters in a lot of what they're dealing with, even with themselves. And there's a lot of issues that are going on that I believe if brothers would just be open and honest with just their women friends, they could gain a lot of understanding on how to do things for themselves as well as when they're talking to their girlfriends and things like that. I know I speak to a ton of women at different times that I have as friends, and we converse and then we share. And my thought is I'm trying to get back from the life that I used to live. And as many of you know, I did not always have the most respectful life towards women. And in my transformation, I have attempted to put that knowledge into the writings that I do as well as in the conversations I have because I really want to see things change. We can fix this. And that is actually the theme of what I'm doing going forward is we can fix this. I believe that. But it starts with folks giving, and you have to give if you want to see things fixed. So tonight we're discussing, is Boaz avoiding you? Now, before you say, well, who is Boaz? I know my Christian sisters know who Boaz is. Boaz is the man that understands what a good woman is because he knew that when Ruth laid at his feet, she was a good woman, and Boaz went on to marry her. They went on to have a wonderful life and children. And Boaz is what would be the epitome of a good man. And as such a good man that he understood that who Ruth was, didn't care about her past, didn't care about who her people was. He looked at things that she was doing, and that sent the key message to him that that's a woman that he needed in his life. And when she laid at his feet, now understand the scriptures, and I don't want you thinking you got to just go throw yourself on the floor and lay at the man's feet. You got to understand what the scriptural context is. She basically let him know. She understood what role a woman played in the faith that he was, and he understood that, and so they took it from there. So the theme tonight is Boaz avoiding you? Because in talking to a lot of sisters and the troubles that they have with us brothers, you know, some brothers are staying away from certain sisters for various reasons. Now, I'm going to offer my thoughts. I mean, by no means do I have all the answers. By no means am I going to be 100% correct, but I can offer what I know. I can offer what I see, and I can offer a reflection of the things that have been said to me, because there's definitely a disconnection somewhere. Some sisters, Some sisters, y'all put up gigantic walls. I mean, greater than the wall of Jericho. And some men just, I'm not bothering. And I'll give you an example. And it's hard when you're doing a radio show on Thursday night and scandal's on, because everybody is scandalized and everybody lost their mind. And that's okay. I don't mind. Because you know what? I've never watched the episode. The theme doesn't move me. And it might be a good show. I don't know. But people love to see a sister in control, even if she's a sister on the side. They love that. Well, see, I got a little issue there. Why are we getting so excited about the side chick? But okay, listen, like I said, I haven't seen the show, so I'm not going to comment on the show. I can only go on what people have explained to me about what they like about it. And we look at the things that we find entertaining. Like right now, the big buzz is the young lady from Love & Hip Hop. Again, another show that I have never seen. Nothing about what I have heard in the little clips that I have seen on different people's news feeds. There's nothing that I want to see in the show. Actually, I did sit and watch about 10 minutes. I guess that's the one. My man Peter Guns or something was on there. And once I found out that he had a wife and he was staying with the girlfriend and the wife knew, it got a little too hectic, a little too stupid for me. So I was like, there's no way I'm sitting and watching this. I felt like my brain was oozing out of my ears. But a young lady, I guess, loving Hip Hop or whatever, she has a sex tape out. And in the sex tape, she's hanging from a shower curtain. Now, let me tell you why this has not sat well with me. Not the sex tape part. Listen, man, people put sex tape, they do what they do. Is that Monday when I was at the bowling alley, one of the brothers that I bowl with and one of the sisters that comes to watch us bowl, they both had the video. And they couldn't wait to show it to other people. And all these people had an understanding and a connection to what Love & Hip Hop was. And the dude was like, oh, I can't wait to see the whole thing. This is just the clips. And, yo, her hanging from the shower rod. And I'm thinking to myself, why are they so excited to basically watch pornography? And why are they so excited because she's hanging from a shower curtain having sex on film? And now looking at the things in the news feed, I noticed that there's all these comments. And, of course, the vines and the spoofs have started. Why have sisters embraced this to such degree? Tiffany and I talked some time ago when we talked about the Beyonce thing and how people just was engrossed with Beyonce's Drunken Love to such a degree that it was just ridiculous. And everyone was either surfboarding or getting drunk or whatever. Watermelon, I don't even know what that means. Thank you, Tiff. She's back to the thing. I was like, whatever. Why are we embracing these things to such a degree? And is it healthy when trying to move towards getting into halfway decent relationships? And sisters, if you're listening, don't hesitate. Please call in and offer your points of view as we go along, 646-200-3838. I definitely would like to hear from you. Because I believe that a lot that's going on is keeping men away from wanting serious relationships. Now, I am not leaving the men off the table with their foolishness. We know that, and I'll discuss that too. But I first want to talk about what the sisters are doing. Like, I've noticed that sisters are not dealing with past issues. And some of their previous issues, they haven't ironed those out, worked on them, got them together, and they're letting the man that they're interested in see glimpses of issues, and that's scaring them off. And he's thinking, wow, she's like that now. It's going to be worse when we date. And so why aren't we dealing with these issues? Why aren't we fixing the damage that was done? If it's possible to be fixed, why are we not at least acknowledging that a previous relationship hurt us? Because you can't walk around in pain and think that halfway decent dude is going to actually want to be bothered with that. Now, you can get the ratchet dude. You can get the dude that will sleep with you if you have one leg, one arm, one ear. That dude is standing around all the time. He's at every club, library, gym. He's at your job. He's at the grocery store. If you notice, ain't nothing in his basket. That dude is everywhere. The dude that will lay down with anybody who says, do you want some? So we're not talking about that dude. Let's step our game up. And I'm talking to the independent sisters who really understand that there's upward movements that they're trying to make and that a partner is going to help build even more of what you're trying to gain in life. If you enjoy being ratchet, do you. And if you go, what's this cat talking about? Ain't nothing wrong with hanging from the shower curtain and the whatever, and you want to hang out the window, do whatever. Because you know what? There really is nothing wrong with that if you and your partner are cool with it. Why you would put it out in public, whatever. But I'm talking about the sisters who can't see that some of what's wrong with why relationships aren't working is some of it is what they're bringing to the table. That's what I'm talking about, who I'm talking to. Because if you have previous issues or you have things that have just not been ironed out, if you have some problems that have been stuck inside your soul a little bit, address those. Address those with a friend. Address those with a male friend. And not a male friend that you're sleeping with. Let's step back and let's start getting back to having actual friendships with males, with females, where it's not about what you're trying to get. And let's start putting that stuff on the table. You know, what role does faith play in any of this? These are all things that hopefully we can get to as the night goes along. But I really want to see a change. So with your previous issues, here's one thing that I would ask you to ask yourself. What caused the problem in the previous relationship? Was it him or was it you? I mean, really be honest, because that's where the healing starts, in the honesty with self. One of the greatest places to be honest with yourself is in the mirror. Look directly in the mirror and just start talking. Not crazy, and if you feel weird, listen, you need to go through that self-reflection with a reflection and really say, you know what, we weren't giving our all, or we were giving our all and he did us dirty. If you realize that the problem in the previous situation was the man, that's where you start putting the patch. That's where you start the healing. The first thing you say to yourself then, if it wasn't me, why am I still holding on to those feelings? Why am I letting him still hurt me now and he's not with me? Now it's time to really say to yourself, you know what? I'm not ready to date right now. I need to just get on my own 2 feet for a little while. I need to chill and just get me straight. But if you look in that mirror and you realize the issue is you, then keep going back. Keep searching. Keep searching of what created that situation. Why did you hold on to that situation? Whatever the issue was, whether it was not trusting, whether it was being controlling, whether it was you allowing him to just have freedoms that he didn't deserve. When I say freedoms that he didn't deserve is you just felt, I could just do whatever. I'm not worried. You know, relationships are mutual. And when Tiff and I were dating, one of the things that I had learned to respect in her was that she was about her business, and she just wasn't going to accept certain things from me, no matter how much I might have wanted it, no matter how much I might have tried to work her into that position. If she wasn't cool with it, wasn't happening, and she was going to stay who she was through the whole process. So if I was going to fall in love with her, I was going to fall in love with who she was, not who she was going to try to become for me. So there's just certain lines she wasn't going to allow me to cross, and I had to understand that. And so we started to learn each other and grow closer to each other. Now, in the past, when I was dating, I found that women that were soft, women that didn't have the strong backbone, I could have assisted them, but I didn't because I was thinking about my own agenda. So because I was thinking about my own agenda, I was going to run amok because they wouldn't put a stop to me. So if you look in the mirror and you realize, like I said, it's you, then let's start fixing that, or let's start addressing that so it can be fixed. And also remind yourself of this: nothing is fixed overnight. Nothing is repaired overnight. But you can start the process overnight. You can start to fix and start to move in the direction of healing overnight. You also need to surround yourself with people who are going to be able to help you, who once you diagnose what's wrong, then you can actually start. Another thing, do you have friends around you who are going to be honest enough to let you know what they see is wrong, and are you going to trust what they see? See, we may not realize what's wrong. We may think everything is cool, so we might have to turn to a friend and say, girl or your partner, let me ask you a question. Tell me what is wrong, and embrace yourself. Because you, and if you hear your friend go, why are we having this conversation? Do you really want to talk about this? What they're really asking is, do you really want the truth? If you're ready and you feel it's just time because you want to be able to have Boaz be a part of your life or be ready when that Boaz comes, then yes, you say, yes, I'm ready for the truth no matter what it is. Say, yo, I need you to be honest with me. Pay me a compliment and be honest. And then when they tell you, hopefully if you chose your friends right, then they're going to be there to help you with the healing process. You know, often we're scared to ask our friends because we already know what's wrong. We know something's wrong. But you know what? You have to do it. And that's that self-reflection piece. I would like to think that my friends that are around me, if I go to them and ask them, they're going to tell me. I hope that if they saw something before I even asked, they come and want to speak to me. But I do know that friends try to protect, so they may not be quick to say. So let's just look at that a second. Stopping and looking, ladies, stopping and looking and considering for yourself, where are you at with this whole process? And I don't want you saying, well, I ain't looking for no man. I ain't checking for no man. I ain't feeling for no man right now. I understand that. But he might be checking for you. He might be looking for you. And then when he sees certain things, nope, not bothering. So these are all good things to know. Now, if you're listening and you want to call in, 646-200-3838, come on, jump in and let me know what you think. I have no problem with that. But now, going on. Also, expectations. Now, this is another area that is, I have sat and listened to many of expectations of what single women expect. And it could go from education to the type of employment to certain status. You know, I want them to be a certain height. I want them to have a certain amount of money. I want them to have a certain amount of education. I don't want them to have kids, or here's the number of kids I want them to have. He has to be a certain age. He has to have a certain skin color. And I listen and I listen and I go, okay, I can't knock a person's preference. But if your preference sheet is so long, I tend to ask, well, what's negotiable? Which things on this sheet are non-negotiable? And I've had some women say, all of them are non-negotiable. This is what it has to be. And then, okay, it triggers a question. How's that been working out for you? How many long-term relationships have you had? And if they say none, well, is your list really working for you? And if you say the relationships have not been working, well, let's discuss that. Is it because the list is too rigid and then you settle? Or you're not finding anyone close to what's on your list and you're settling? See, I don't ever tell a woman to dumb down her list. I just ask a sister to be realistic. I also say don't make demands from a man that you either don't have or you're not prepared to have. And what I mean by that is let's keep it 100%. If you're broke, how are you going to demand he be rich? And you have no aspirations on trying to become better than your situation. Because it now looks as if you're trying to be taken care of. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a kept woman, but you got to bring something to the table. You know, Eddie Murphy made a joke years ago about if I make millions and you make $2, you shouldn't be entitled to half if we break up. But I do understand a woman saying she wants a man who's independent. But in turn, you should be working on your independence or be independent yourself. because then you're asking for something that, one, you're not, you have no history of being able to deal with. Now, let me show you how that works. Let's say that kept that well-off man, that independent man who's doing okay. If he's wealthy, God bless. He looks at you and sees that you're not doing anything. Why would he want to get with you? Because you're cute? Because you got a nice body? How's that been working out for men or women? So if he's looking at his money and saying he knows what efforts and energy that went into him getting his money in place to be independent, the last thing he wants to see is a woman not, because he automatically knows. That's like throwing his money into a well. Now, that doesn't mean that some people that have gotten together under those circumstances have not been okay. There's anomalies in every situation. An anomaly is something that's not the norm. Just like if you say, I want a man that's in great condition, hey, you ain't going to the gym. I love the thicker sisters. Don't get me wrong. To me, sexy starts at size 14. I love a thick sister. Love a sister that can throw down in the kitchen. Love a sister that can eat, because I can cook too. But if you're going to make physical fitness demands on what his body should look like and what he should actually be in terms of fitness, well, don't you think you should at least be working towards that? Because he will have the right to ask the same thing of you. And again, it goes to my financial situation that I just mentioned. If he's somebody that's keeping himself in great shape and doing the things that he needs to do, and you're not, do you think that that's something or someone that he wants to be with? See, these are all areas that block a quality man. I can't say great men, because I think great men and great women can be built from the relationship too. It doesn't mean that they weren't great when they come together, but I think men and women can become greater. Like, I believe Martin Luther King was already a good man before he got with Coretta, and I believe Coretta was a good woman. But I believe together they became greater because of their connection to each other. Now, that's my personal opinion. You can say, look, some people are just great on their own. I don't knock that. But I believe that two people, when they come together with a strong bond and a strong connection and a strong focus, they become greater than they would have been individually. So you can be real good, but you can become great when you have someone in your camp that has your back, male or female. So, again, what are the things that are negotiable or non-negotiable? And are your non-negotiables set so high that they're not even things that you have? Again, you've put a wall up that the good man can't get over. You set the bar so high that he's just swinging from it. He actually can't pull himself over. So after a while, he gives up. Why am I hanging here? I'm just going to go about my business. Now, I also, in turn, now to flip that record over, I would not lower that bar and just let any cat walk in and start negotiating the things that you really want, because then you end up with whack relationships, and you end up with dudes who don't get it. Now, before I go to a break, I want to throw faith on the table too, because that's part of the negotiables. Ladies that are of the faith, and I know brothers and sisters that are in the kingdom of the Lord that are Christians, we know that you should be evenly yoked. Now, here's my thing, and I may offend some Christians what I'm about to say. If he's open to discussing and understanding who your God is, even though he may not or she may not be a Christian at the beginning, that is a great opportunity to witness to someone who doesn't know your faith that may open up doors to him or to him understanding what the faith is and now start to move in that direction to where when you guys look to get very serious about each other, you now maybe have become the evenly yoked. But if you put certain demands, like he has to be a Christian. Okay, I cannot knock anyone who says that. But I say be open and honest. And now that's something to me, and when I turn to negotiation, I'm not saying just deal with a guy, not deal with him all. I'm saying give him a chance to learn. He may not have ever sat down and discussed the Christian faith with anyone, and his thoughts about it may be completely negative, and that's why he's resistant or distant from it. But in getting to know you and learning who you are and learning what role your faith plays in who you are, that may open up the door to him to go, wow, that's something totally different than what I've known. That's the missing piece to some things that I've been trying to do. And now as he moves closer to God, not you, closer to God, he can start to become the man that you need him to become. And again, if you're going to make these demands, if you're going to say he has to be a Christian, it's non-negotiable, well, you can't be on the club doing ratchet things on Saturday night and going to church on Sunday and him seeing you Saturday night and him seeing you after church and saying, well, that's the same chick that was drunk in love on Saturday. Now she in love with God on Sunday. And when I say drunk in love, I'm saying a little more than you should be. I ain't saying Christians can't go out and have a good time, but drunk in love, it's not going to work. And that's a whole other show. We can argue about that or talk about it. I don't want to argue with anybody about religion, but anyway. But you, like I said, you have to look at yourself and understand what role you play. All right. It is 8:30. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a two-song break, and we'll come back. We're going to continue to discuss or look at the things that we can actually do or change or fix or whatever to be able to bring that man to the table, to be able to have that man see you for who you are, so this way we can stop getting Boaz to avoid us. And when I say us, I mean me as brothers and sisters. I want to see my sisters happy in the relationships that are causing them to grow in a positive way. That's actually what I'm trying to do, because we can fix this. And I believe that all things are fixable. We just have to work on it. So this is Reality in Relationships, Thursday night, 8 to 10. We'll be back in two songs. I'll see you soon.
You're beautiful, yes.
Yeah. You're beautiful, yes. In and outside.
Who you gonna serve? Who you gonna serve?
The way.
Jesus.
I like that song, man. Very smooth, very nice. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. This is KL. Oh, man, it's Thursday night. You know, I really enjoy, I just want to, off the beaten path, like, I really enjoy doing this because whether it's tonight or whether somebody has a show later, I enjoy the fact that I know that we are actually helping people, whether it's Tiff and I together, whether it's myself. I know that we're helping folks. I just want to say thank you for giving me, I want to say thank you to GQ Palace for giving me the chance to be here. But I just really enjoy being here. And I am honored by those that tune in to listen now, tune in to listen later. I love it all the way around. And if you are listening in on your phone, make sure that you press the number one if you want to get in to speak. Just let the host know you have something to say, and the host will let you know when and you're going to get in to talk to me, and we'll take it from there. If you're listening from your computer and you want to get in on the conversation, feel free, 646-200-3838. Now, before we went to break again, the conversation tonight is, why is Boaz avoiding you? Now, I don't want to offend anyone and say I'm pointing fingers at any one particular person. No, I am just openly asking, why are men staying away from certain women? And we talked about in the first half an hour is just some of the things. One of the things that I do want to bring to the table is your environment. Now, this is not a rich or poor thing. There are horrible people who are poor, and there are horrible people who are well off. What I'm talking about in your environment is the surroundings that you place yourself in has a lot to do with your pickings. So if pickings are slim, well, you need to consider what's around you. You know, if I go to the corner store, I have to know that they're not going to have a full assortment of vegetables or other things that I might find at a supermarket. So I would have to take myself to a supermarket if there's things that I want, because I know the local bodega or the local store is not. Same thing if I'm well off. There's just certain environments are not going to have certain things that I want, and I cannot continue to be in certain environments to get the things that I want. Now, let's look at this. If you want an educated man, you need to place yourself in environments where the level of education is higher. Now, if you're working on that, that's a good thing. College, if you're going to school, if you're going to wherever, and it's a place of learning, it's going to put you in proximity of people who are attempting to gain more knowledge and people who have knowledge. People that work there, people that may be teaching, whatever. So the idea is, all those things are necessary. Oh, we have we have our first caller. Let's see. Caller, are you there?
Hi, honey.
Hey, I'm a married man. You better introduce yourself before you just talk.
This is
who are you?
Tiffany Braxton Belvin, the wonderful,
my better half,
happy wife.
Hey, you on the air. Where my baby?
The baby's here with me.
Okay, just
she's
checking.
Right next
just checking.
To me.
Well, I'm glad that you're on, honey. And what brings you on tonight and interrupt my flu?
Well, I know you, I wasn't on last week, and then we're going solo again this week. I figured just to call in for a couple of minutes and see how you were doing.
Well, that's fine. listen, I appreciate it. I'm having fun. Listen, you know how you and I do. It's going to happen whether people call in or not, because I know they're listening. And if they're not listening now, they're going to be listening later. So my thing is to make sure that I get the information out, whether it was you and I doing it or whether it's doing it by myself. Tonight I'm talking about is Boaz avoiding you, and just discussing the things that women are doing to actually keep that good man away from them, and that's what Boaz actually represents, is the good man. So do you have any thoughts on that you might want to just bring to the table quickly?
Well, it's funny, the topic is Boaz avoiding you, because I hear women all the time saying, I'm waiting for my Boaz, I'm waiting for my Boaz. And it talks about all the horrible relationships they've been in, how men have done them dirty and the negative things men have done. But my question has always been, are you the woman that Boaz will be looking for? You know, a lot of times we don't have a good perception of ourselves. And that's, you know, with myself also. That's why I tell people all the time, I don't keep yes men and yes women around me. I keep people around me who are going to give me the hard, honest truth, even when I don't want to hear it. But you have some people that they have a really warped perception of themselves, and they think that they're a 10 when they might be a 5 that needs to work themselves. So,
well, you know, you said something there. Hold on 1 second. You said something there that is so true, is that people believing that they're a 10 when they're really a 5, but then when you attempt to try to help them see that they are a 5, they get offended or call you a hater.
Yes.
And then
they
say, you hating because you ain't no 10. You're right, but I ain't no 5 either. And I'm trying to help you, or maybe I could work with you and we both can become 10. But some folks, the minute that you bust that imaginary bubble, they get so defensive, and then you automatically can see why they don't have that man, because you don't even want to take correction or instruction. But listen,
true.
Baby, I tell you what, why I got you. We can do the team thing. We have another caller if you want to stay on and take the caller, or you're gonna jump on. You want to hang out for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, I'll stay on.
All right, just keep an eye on my baby, because I will call ACS on you. We have a caller on the line. I believe it is Q from Atlanta. Q, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I'm here, and I think I can help the discussion.
Not a problem. Thank you, Q, for calling in. So what's your thoughts, brother?
Well, you know, respectfully, these things are always hard to have, because it is getting one gender, no matter which one it is, to appreciate the struggles of the other.
Yes,
so
yes.
The first thing I would say for anybody listening, especially ladies, if they're truly trying to benefit, urban males are lucky to still be alive. Most of them don't make it past 26.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point, because in urban areas, we know that crime and some other problems exist.
Right.
So those of us that have gotten north of 21, it's a blessing to some degree.
Right. And with that said, and that's a great caveat, with that said, when a person gets to that age that they never thought they'd probably make it, most of them, they get a little protective of their circle. So they do two things. Either they become really bad, or they become really good and really protective. So the unfortunate thing I would also suggest before I make my point is that a lot of gentlemen, self-included, I used to be a counselor, a lot of gentlemen, unfortunately, because they've been raised in certain scenarios, whether they're single mom, shy dad, whatever, they don't have the wherewithal to handle pressure well.
Gotcha.
So women don't necessarily pick guys that can handle pressure well. Those guys are usually the CEOs, the on-point dudes, and what they call the arrogant dudes that they can't handle. And when you put those two things together, the fact that he's protective, he survived, and he is a little assertive, those guys might be ideal for surviving that other races might pick. But the urban lady is less likely to pick that person. She's more likely to pick the other person who needs her more. So I say,
let me jump. Hold that thought for one second. I want to ask this question.
Right,
I just want to go back to a second, because I understand what you're saying, and I'm taking it all in. But with that group that's protective, and let's looking at the men that are protective. Now they have to know that having a good relationship with the sister, whether black, white, whatever, that it's going to increase them as because you benefit from being in a good relationship. We got that. But if they're protective, how can they then expand to be able to date? Because most of the guys that you're talking about have that do very well, they're looking at marriage as a possibility because they know that's something that they want. So how do they expand their circles if they're protective to actually allow the woman to get there?
Okay. Here's the unfortunate thing, because we grow up in different areas, different regions, and different decades. The unfortunate thing is the guy from the period of chivalry has pretty much gone because he's seen so many chivalrous guys come back crying from divorce court.
Wow.
So your question, unfortunately, is lacking in what I can honestly produce, because a lot of those guys are afraid now to take those leaps with individuals who do not seem appealing. And that's where these other cultures come into play, because they play the family-minded woman game better. It isn't that they're better women. They just play the game better when it comes to the appearance of what is needed. They're out there running, even though they're a VP of a company.
I got you. I got you.
They're out there cooking, even though they're an entrepreneur with a kiosk at the mall. So when you got individuals who have this mindset, therein lies the problem. Now, here's the punch to the gut. Here's the punch to the gut, though.
Go ahead.
Is that, unfortunately, if she, whoever she is, white, black, Indian, Pakistani, don't matter, doesn't understand all those plights of him, she will overlook picking him for someone who needs her more. Look at Vivica Fox. Go ahead, and I'll wait, because you got something to say.
Because you're making some interesting points, because actually what you were just explaining is what I was saying earlier in the show about wanting but not being, and that you could want a man that's in tremendous shape, but if you're not, why would the man that's in tremendous shape look at you? And it's not that you're not a nice person, but you're making demands that you're not actually applying to self. And so you're not actually reaching the level of the very person that you want to be with. It doesn't mean that with him you can't get there, but you have to look at what he's now having to consider. And he may say, why would I want to go backwards? And that's what I was explaining earlier about sisters. When you have negotiables and non-negotiables, you have to look at the things that you're just not going to work at and then say to yourself, but if you want those things, it's a catch-22. You can't have it both ways. And that's why when you made that statement, I was like, see, that's exactly what I was phrasing. And you mentioned that the needy, you know, that was something I actually we're going to speak about later, but I'm so glad you touched on that. Is could you elaborate on your thoughts on why it's so easy for the woman to choose or overlook that guy and choose the needy guy?
Okay, let me show you a perfect example. We're going to do a Bible thing, and I'm going to use our lady panelists to answer this question. And I'm not being facetious. It's actually a very honest question. To the lady, I would ask, and this is a Bible question, is it not true that Boaz, because everybody refers to Boaz, was it true that Boaz really was not looking, and that he had to be convinced by a second lady? And also, was it not true that Boaz was twice her age?
True.
Tiff, you did?
Yes, true.
So when the person says they are looking for Boaz, they will necessarily many times overlook those two criterias for what they want.
Right.
Even though, biblically, Boaz is meant for her, she's meant for him.
Right.
So in today's 2014, a guy twice the age is going to get looked over. That's just a commonality. but not outside of America. Let's remember that.
Outside of
America, September, October marriages are often, and their children become our children's employers.
Yeah.
Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Their marriages are less divorced, and their children become our children's employers.
Yep. So, it's the understanding of that.
Say it again, sir.
No, it's the understanding of the union itself, and actually the age is looked about with honor, not as a detriment. See, in this country, in the United States, age is looked at a detriment. Just look at how we treat our elderly, whereas in other countries, they do not look at a person's age as a negative. It actually is a sign of majestic to some, and for a younger woman to be with an older man is actually smiled upon. Because then she's going to be kept, and it's actually he needs to be in a position to be able to take care of her before he even goes that route. Not saying that that's the perfect way to do it, but I understand why a lot of other cultures actually lean that way. I just wanted folks to understand that in case they didn't understand where you were coming from with the point.
All right, and here's my last point, and I'm going to do some listening now because I've talked too much. I just want to do this knockout punch. So if everybody really thinks about how our ladies – are conducting themselves now. Some time ago, late 90s, black men were the angry black men. You remember just what ladies are going through now with their demographic and their image being sullied? Black men had that as well. But what did black men do? They went into the media, they took control in the media, and they showed classy images of them. There were brothers like Robert Townsend. There was brothers like Bill Cosby and so on and so forth who grabbed those images and made them classy and smooth. Here's the problem with 2014. Our ladies are in control of some of these shows. Your average black lady reality show is more violent than any rap video you ever seen. And I'll give somebody $500 if they can find one. It is more violent. So here's the knockout punch. Vivica Fox. Vivica Fox is my perfect example of a person who is so independent that they can't turn it off. So here she is in her field. She's had plastic surgery to keep up. She goes and marries a guy called 6'5". He's a rapper. He meets all the sexual criteria that she believes she's looking for. They get married. Mm-hmm. She's working on two can play it that way. The guy is doing nothing with his life. She comes home every day. He's sitting smoking weed, playing Xbox every day on Xbox. She gets upset. Now, prior to him, she was dealing with 50 Cent before the 100 million. But 50 Cent was a business-minded dude.
Yep.
So she had a problem dealing with that business-minded dude because he wants a feminine female. He doesn't want all that.
Mm-hmm.
So she got with the guy. She divorced that guy, 6'5", went back to 50 Cent. By this time, he's $100 million, so mean he's even more protective than what he was.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to conform. See, the
so
other people get in and play the role. Right, the other people get in and play the role. She couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and found another young thug, younger than her, who needed her more than she needed it. And he milked her dry and left recently, about 6 months ago. Now she's nearing 50, 55 on Wendy talking about, I'm just tired. I need, sweetheart, your window of opportunity is almost shut.
Yeah, because if I'm a man now, you'd be doing the 60, 70-year-old, and he don't really want to be bothered with all that headache either.
Right, doing the whole European thing. So it takes you to 50 years old to turn it off. Those are my 5 points. Let me back up and listen to y'all.
Brother Q, oh, man, thank you so much. And I'm going to actually continue on something that you talked about. But that is Brother Q calling in from Atlanta. He made some outstanding points. Brother, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, Q hit on some very, very important things. And
he did.
It's all about great conversation. I love, especially when an intelligent man comes on and speaks on, not in a negative way. He did not down women at all. He just made some very valid points and gave you examples. And as an educator, I love when someone gives you an example because now you can go check it out for yourself. It's not a matter of just his opinion. I want to go back to something, though, with Ruth. And I'm glad he mentioned that because it's actually something I was going to continue. Well, I'll tell you what. It's 9 o'clock. Here's what we're going to do because I know you have to watch the baby. We're going to take a 2-song break. I don't know if my wife is going to hang out with us or not, but we will see. If not, I'm going to continue on in an area that Q brought up because I think it's very important that we continue this conversation because women, this is designed to help. No one is knocking you. It is designed to help you maybe take a look at some things that you can fix that's going to help build you because that's what it's about. I am as only as good as my significant other on the other end of this phone, because together we have become something greater than we could have ever became apart. And our daughter is a product of that union. And let me tell you something, it does work. So we're going to take a two-song break, and I don't know if the lovely wife will be with me, but if not, I will continue and take you through the last hour. And again, shout out to Q from Atlanta with some fantastic points. Lead me right into what I want to talk about when we come back. This is Reality in Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10. See you in two.
This is your girl, Shy Love, your Brooklyn actress for Atlanta. Every Thursday, you know I'm tuning into Reality of Relationships from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on GQ Palace Radio with the beautiful Tiffany Belden and the always funny and blunt K.L. Belden. You gotta keep it locked.
Bill collectors at my door. What can you do for me?
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio. GQ
You got
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it.
Hey, this is S. Hoffa, CEO and founder of GoFurther Entertainment, and also one of the co-authors of Wordplay Super Foundation and Soul, a Raven Publishing exclusive. Every Thursday, I tune into Reality and Relationships from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. KL and Tip are the best for dealing with relationships. Peace.
Yo, what up, what up? Peace, world. This your boy, Mellow Man Ace. Right now, you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio.
Your silky words are sweet, but your pockets don't look empty. Ain't nothing going on with
me. GQ Palace Radio.
I know I'm a little older than some folks. I don't know if y'all remember when that song was out. Sisters was kind of flack. No romance without finance. Yo, oh my gosh, that song took me back because it was like, you broke, but you sit there telling me what I got to have. Perfect song for tonight. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships, where every Thursday night, we take a look at relationships from all different angles and attempt to try to offer a positive query on what can be done to make things a little better. And so tonight we're discussing how can we get Boaz to not avoid women. Now, we talked about who Boaz is, and Boaz is the figurehead of good for a figurehead for a good man. And Q from Atlanta called in. And he took it there, and I'm so glad he did. Like I said, I love to listen to a brother of intelligence. Actually, I love to listen to intelligent folks. I don't want to leave the women out because he made some very good points without being offensive. He made points that you have to stop and consider where he was coming from. Now, when he brought up Ruth, and I'm so glad that he did because he actually stole one of my lines there, that Ruth was, that Boaz was an older man. And not that I'm getting at the young brothers, but the way society is set up, especially brothers of color, young brothers have it rough. And Brother Q brought that up too. As an educator, I am constantly trying to get young men to consider their futures, to consider that the steps they take right now is going to affect who they're going to be later. Because one or two missteps and their whole lives could change. And so when Brother Q brought up that some young men are so excited having gotten north of 21 and that the ones that are going to school and who actually have some upward mobility, yes, they are very protective. Their families are very protective. Their mothers and fathers are very protective because the energy and the effort that it took to get past some of the urban environments, out of the urban environments, they don't want to see that all ripped away because of foolishness. Now, going forward, I want to talk about Ruth because I'm also going to talk about reality TV because he made a mention to that. And again, I think the brother was looking at my playlist of what things I wanted to talk about. But I think what happens is that brothers that look at things through clear vision see some of the same things. So I'm glad that he brought some things to the table. Here's when I mentioned Ruth, and I talked to a lot of sisters about Ruth. Let's look at Ruth for a second. Her husband had died. Two brother-in-laws dead, her father-in-law dead. With all that negativity, the first thing she realized is that her mother-in-law was a woman of substance. So she said, I'm not going home. See, her two sisters went home. They were Moabitan women. Now, I know you're like, well, what does all this mean? I'm going to take you to church a little bit. Moab women were not positive women. They were looked at as whores. They were looked at as negative. So Moabitan women were not treated in a positive way, not looked upon in a positive way. But Ruth said, well, Naomi, my mother-in-law, where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. So she said, I'm going to cling, because she saw something positive in this woman. So she got next to a positive sister, even though the negativity that went on around them was enough to crush both of them. Now remember, Naomi had just lost her husband and lost three sons. So you know she's in a negative place. So the two of them had reason to just give up on life, but instead they clung to each other, and they now had to travel from where they were back. In that traveling and in that time back, Naomi was teaching Ruth how to be a quality woman of God. Now, this is important. We all need mentorship. We all need to have someone of quality. If it's someone older, fine. If it's someone more experienced, someone can be more experienced and be around the same age, but you need someone more experienced that can help you understand things within yourself. Now, as they get back, they have to eat. They have to survive. So Ruth hits the fields. Ruth goes out there and does the job of a man. Men were hitting the fields. Men were cutting the barley and the grain. She now had to do that. But what men of Israel did was they left leftovers after they got finished so other people could come. And that's where Boaz first noticed Ruth. Now, let me say this to you. It was through her work to take care of herself that the good man noticed who she was. Now, she was taking care of herself and her mother-in-law. She wasn't checking for no man. She is trying to take care of her. The mother, again, the mentor, said to her, that man, that's a good man, but you just can't run up on no good man. Not the way, not the type of man, and not the stature of that man there. She said, let me explain to you. Let me show you. Now, see, ladies, please listen. Often our mothers, grandmothers, and often the mentors that we have around us, they offer some valid information. But if you are so hard-headed that you do not want to allow it in, you are going to block your blessing. And information is a blessing, especially quality information. Quality information is life-altering. So once Naomi had every reason to be bitter. She had every reason to hate the world. She had reason to hate God. A husband and three sons? That don't sound like no hood situation to you? That don't sound like a regular urban situation? A mother that's lost her husband, lost her three boys? I've heard that story over and over again. But instead of folding into her environment, folding into what happened, I'm going to teach this young girl how to be a better woman, and in turn, how to be a better woman for that man who's a better man. Because she knew the only way that she was going to be restored, it was through her extended family. And they're still family. They're still family. They're still her daughter-in-law. So now, when she lays at Boaz's feet, and again, that was how a righteous woman showed a man that she understood her position. Not a subservient position. It was just a position to let the man know, I'm not no whore. I'm not trying to get up under you. I'm trying to show you that I'm about my business, and this is what a righteous woman does. So the righteous man holds open his blanket and now says, come on up here, let me warm you with my blanket, because a righteous man now knows what to do. So my question to the sisters listening, are you putting in the work that's needed to attract the quality man that you would like to have? Are you doing the, are you, do you have the mentorship in and around you to help guide you in a direction? When I say mentorship, someone who has lived what they're trying to show you, not trying to shape you into what they've never been, because that's a very difficult ride. Now, does it sometimes produce good fruit? Sometimes. But when a person has been there, when an elder says, well, this is how my husband and I met. This is how my husband and I did it, but we made a mistake. Let me teach you so you can avoid that mistake. That is quality information. You have no idea how that information helps. Now, I'll give you an example. My father and I reconnected at 39. I need him so much at times when we talk, because at 66, he can help me at 46 to avoid things so I'm not 50, 60, making those mistakes and taking losses. So that information that he's given me is helping me out tremendously. It's helping me grow. So instead of going through learning experiences, I'm using his experiences to help grow my territory. So Ruth did that. Now, how many sisters are doing that? And in turn, when she got with the right man, it worked out perfectly. And the grandmother benefited. Why? Because then they had a child. And so the grandmother now had her son back. She had a grandson. Did she get a husband? No. But partial restoration is better than no restoration. And you know what? Sometimes it is what it is. But she had her family back. So, sisters, and I'm so glad Q brought it up, because we have to look at other cultures. Let's just, you know, forget other cultures. Let's just look at the United States. Caucasian women seem to be the choice of men who make it. And we always say, you know, our black men have become sellouts. They wrap themselves up with white women as soon as they make a dollar. Well, let's step back a second. Not that I'm an advocate of leaving the sisters behind. I'm just an advocate of love. If you love somebody, fine, white, black, whatever. You know, if all things equal, listen, get with the sister. But if you choose somebody white, I ain't gonna bug out and be, oh my God, how could you do it? If you're in love, do you. But do you realize that some of these white women come from homes where the ideas and the knowledge about financial situations is totally different than some of the sisters that these men have dealt with? And it goes back to what I was saying, is that if the man now has these things presented to him, and actually Q brought this up too, he's choosing someone that has a mindset that's closer to his. Unfortunately, many of us, men and women, and I'm going to reverse that, women and men, don't have certain understandings about financial situations, which then blocks us from being a part of certain environments. Just like in other cultures, the relationships, the marriages do tend to last longer than in the United States, because they look at marriage totally different from the start. So change the mindset about marriage, change the outcome of marriages. Now, humans are going to be humans, so people are going to do negative things. People are going to cheat. That's secondary, because people are going to be people. I'm just talking about the initial. And so we have to look at the story of Ruth. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're like, what is this brother talking about? Why are these brothers bringing up the Bible? It ain't got nothing to do with it. Look at what we're saying. A woman with no mentorship is not going to understand certain things that she needs to understand on her own. Now, that doesn't mean she can't get that information on her own, but she needs to go out and experience it. Having mentorship helps guide you. Having guidance helps move you in a direction that's positive. When you come across certain environments, and in those environments, in taking care of yourself, you open up the door for other people in those environments to see you and to see you differently. So whether you believe in the Bible or not, just look at what it's saying. A woman that goes out here and puts the work in her office, and I mean she's going hard, and she stays the extra, and she's doing the extra, she's going to get the attention of someone who says, you know, that sister, who is that? Oh, that's Sister So-and-so, Sister Williams. She comes in every day. She stays. She's going to school. So she's doing the thing. So now he may go, really? You know anything about her? All I know is she comes in, she works hard. My understanding is she's taking care of some things. I think she stays with her grandmother, stays with her mother. But now you've captured his attention. And if he's a man of substance, he knows what hard work produces. That becomes attractive to him. Because he's saying to himself, if she's working that hard and I'm working that hard and we get together and work that hard, oh, we can have it all. And the same thing for fellas, if you're listening. If you look at sisters as getting it done and you're getting it done and two of y'all get together and y'all continue, don't fall off, oh, my gosh. It goes back to the point that I was saying about two people can be good, but you become so much greater together. And so I would definitely say, to the sisters, to please consider getting mentorship or having someone that has been there, that understands, male or female, because the person in Ruth's life, Naomi, could easily have been a male. And I try to present that to a lot of the young sisters that I taught before that have now grown up, or just a lot of sisters that are in my peer group, as well as older sisters. Listen, my experiences allow me to be able to sit with older sisters to help them. And so I attempt to be a mentor so I can offer my insight, and by changing my own life and now not being the whore and rambunctious man that I was, I now can take that experience, and when I go out to speak in different environments, it is with the understanding of trying to present as much information to sisters as possible and men that can help them be totally different than what I was. So that's what I've dedicated my life to. Now, what I definitely want to talk about the rest of this half an hour and going into the last half an hour of the show is television. You know, again, Brother Q made some fantastic points about women directing shows and how those shows tend to be more violent. There is proof and truth to that for this reason. I have noticed that in environments where women are the boss, if you notice that some women are extremely aggressive. We have a call. I tell you what, let me hold on a second. Ann, we have a call on the line. Let's get to the caller. Is Ann there?
Yes.
Hello, Ann.
Hello, how are you? I'm fine.
Yeah, we had to give you the applause. Not a problem. How you doing tonight, Ann?
Doing great.
All right. I'm glad you called in. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. What you want to say tonight, Ann?
About relationships between the making it last longer.
Yeah, come on. Give me your thoughts. Let's talk.
I just think it takes certain people, like best friends, and when they don't let outside people interfere in their relationship and break
okay.
up their relationship, I think it lasts longer.
Okay. There's definitely truth to that, because not everyone has the relationship's interest in mind, and that is
mm-hmm.
a fantastic point, because when you're actually getting to that point where you and that gentleman or the gentleman and female are together, however you come together, until you have gotten yourselves to a very solid point, you really should limit the influx of people's opinions on the relationship as it's growing, unless they're pointing out something that is detrimental to your health. And even then, I still would check the information out that's being brought, because sometimes, and we unfortunately, we as folks of color know this, people just, well, now, you know, I'm not going to make it a color. People just don't like to see people happy.
That's what I think, too. I
yeah,
think they
because,
like to sit around when you're happy. You know, everybody mm-hmm. wants to be around somebody that happy couple, you know, and it make you want to be happy and just, you know, chill for just to be around them. Some people
True.
Are positive doing that for the good,
True.
But some people are there to bust it up. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, well, and you know, like I know, there's some salty people, and when they see other people happy and they start thinking about
mm-hmm.
how things didn't work for them, they start plotting
mm-hmm.
and planning on what they can do simply because they'd rather see everybody around unhappy like themselves.
Yeah, I find with me in a relationship, it's best not to
mm-hmm.
be around family, friends, just all to ourselves. That was best for
me. You can't close out the world, Ann. You can't close out
oh,
the world.
Oh, yes, it's best for me. I've been living a long time to know that.
Okay, so
you
Ann,
know,
let me ask
you
a question.
Be... Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm so glad that you called in. So what do you
mm-hmm.
say to the sisters out here now? How should they be conducting themselves to be able to get that good man to pay them attention? What would be your advice to the sisters out here now, what they could do to be in a quality relationship?
I think they have to demand more from them. And stick with it, you know, the rules and regulations and about how they want to be treated. They don't want to
okay.
be, you know, attacked verbally, mentally, physically, and financially.
Great point.
And,
great point.
Yeah, to try to, you know, just don't want to have to raise. Either they got it or they don't.
When our sisters are independent and they have themselves together, how do we get them to be able to feel comfortable enough to deal with a man that's on the same level, where they're not feeling like they're giving up themselves, but they're actually allowing the man in? Because and tell me if I'm wrong, you've seen how when sisters get to an independent stage, they'll start to say things like, I don't need no man, or can't no man do for me. So my question to you is, how do we get the sisters to understand is not that the man is taking from you, that he's actually building on what you have in place? How do we help them there?
I think in my life I'm sort of like that, but I couldn't say, because I'm still like a little spoiled girl. You know, you think about when you're raised, you know, when you want flowers, this and that. But you can go to the extreme one so much, you don't have time to enjoy each other, because I know that most of the men will say, like, are you needy? You want this, you want that. They like independence, and they don't like, you know. And I think they want surprises, and they want to be, you know, treated like kings, you know, like a surprise dinner. I think they like that, too. I'm not one for that, though. I don't do much of that.
Well, I definitely appreciate that.
I don't do much of that. I may surprise them with a meal just to throw them off. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like the old type girl where the man, you know, take care of his woman, his lady. I don't feel in that stage where I don't need them for certain things. I know I can over exceed wanting, you know what I'm saying, like a child.
I definitely am.
So
let me ask you this now. When you say, and there's nothing wrong with some of the old-fashioned ways. I actually think if we went back to some of the old-fashioned ways, especially with the men, because that's a different show, I'm going to talk about men understanding their roles as protectors and providers, and that if we could actually go back to wanting to provide and protect our women, some of our women wouldn't have any problem with giving up some of the control and saying, hey, take care of me. I don't have a problem with that if you're going to do it right. So let me ask you this then. When sisters are saying, I don't care if he can take care of me, I don't care if he can provide for me, I don't want that because then he's going to have control over me. How do we get them to understand? Now you laughing. How do we get them to understand that it's not control over, but it's actually making situations better? How do we help them understand that?
Well, I think in one of my best relationships, that was a good thing, because, you know, they say a good man is hard to find, and some man is better than no man, and you can be broke and poor and disgusted and lonely by yourself. So if he's providing, I feel like that's a daddy role, you know, and a father role, you know what I'm saying? And they got the men that don't want the woman to work, want them to stay at home. And when you go anywhere, they want to call you. And that's controlling. As far as taking care of the household, I think that's a man's job, you know, as far as working.
Okay.
And the woman taking care of the household, but not confined to the house. No.
Oh, yeah, she gotta be able to go out and do her thing. She gotta have a life. You ain't locking up. She ain't no slave.
Right. Right. But that's the controlling part. What most brothers
okay. are. I got you. Mm-hmm. I was getting nervous because I was like, I don't want my wife to work. I want her to be home with the baby. But now I'm not no slave master. I want her. Like, she went out the other night. I was like, oh my God, my baby won't stop crying. But I was like, you know what? My wife is out having fun. I'm gonna hold this down. And I did, because I'm a believer in that. You have to allow a person that you're dating, that you're married to have their independence in terms of going out and enjoying themselves, going out with friends. It's not always going to be with you, male or female. And that freedom is what allows the relationship to grow healthy. That's my opinion. And I do
think
men...
That's true.
Yes. Thank you.
I didn't mean to
because
take
this...
you off. I do think
no,
more
no, 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 I don't mind.
I do see that with the more of the younger people. doing that, like my daughter. Some of the younger people are doing that fine. You know, the man to go out, the woman to go out. But I think that they overdoing it, like on the L.A. and the ATL. And then when they out, you know, then they accusing their man of doing this with that girl, and, you know, they fight, and, you know. But really, no one's at home, you know, enough. That's what happens.
I got you.
When you go out to have a good time.
I think it's the environment, too, though. I think you mm-hmm. made a good point about, you know, the husband going out, with a boyfriend going out, girlfriend going out, husband going out, wife going out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the environment, though, because if your wife is going out and she's involved in a lot of different things, if the husband is involved mm-hmm. in a lot of different things, I don't see that being a problem. But I think it's where
mm-hmm.
you go, because a lot of folks will be at the club. They'll be at the club
mm-hmm.
or they'll be at the bar. And, you know, mm-hmm. the first thing a person's going to say is, if you're in a happy and healthy relationship, why are you up in the club or why are you up in the bar?
Right.
Now, if you just enjoy dancing, then that should be something that's understood, because it also can't be something that just magically popped up. Because if all of a sudden you at the club every night, you just got this newfound fond for dancing, but you ain't dancing in the house, you ain't dancing
mm-hmm.
with him, y'all don't go
mm-hmm.
dancing together. But every chance you get, him or her are going somewhere, you know, there's little signs like that. I feel go out as often as you like, as long as home is taken care of, meaning that if your significant other, male or female, is happy, comfortable, they're not going to have a problem with you going out. I don't have a problem with my wife going out. I know what my wife likes to do. If my wife started things that was new and didn't want to include me and something didn't seem right, well, we're going to have a conversation. I'm not going to get upset first, because I'm going to first at
mm-hmm.
least find out where this come from. Now, if it makes sense, I'm going to keep my radar up. I'll keep an eye out. But I'm not going to cause confusion in my home because she has a new interest. And I think that's what I mean by the environment, too, is if all of a sudden she's hanging out with a lot of men, well, the one thing I know about my wife is she's not going to place herself in a position where there's anything that can be questioned because of the respect that she has for me and vice versa.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be sitting out at the club or the bar or the lounge and I'm sitting up under 6, 7, 8, or 9 women that my wife don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because now,
that's
why am I
true.
Doing that? But my wife knows who my female friends are. I have them call on the phone, and she's sitting right there next to me, because there should
mm-hmm.
be no one in my life that she doesn't
mm-hmm.
know and that should be kept secret from her. And she's the same with me. And I think
that's right.
Go ahead. I think some of our younger folks need to look at that.
Well, the younger people got the Facebook. They got the password secrets to the Facebook. They want the password to this and that. They
uh-huh.
want monitor telephone.
Uh-huh.
And as far as one of my relatives, he keeps her phone. And I guess she keeps his phone. I mean, this is really new to me. This is blowing me out, you know. Their relationship is so unique, and it's just blown me away beyond mine ever. And that's the way they do what they do. Like I said, they take turns going out. They're not married, but I think they may marry one day because they seem to have been doing it right.
Well, you know, the technology changes, because remember, every 10 years, there's always something new introduced
mm-hmm.
that creates an issue where the folks before that say, well, I don't know how y'all do that, because I can remember before, I joke with my sons, I try to explain them, I remember when TV used to go off, and they look at me like I'm crazy,
mm-hmm.
and they go, what you
I
mean
know,
TV used to go off? I
said,
TV used to go off. I remember when there was only 3 channels, so that's why we stayed outside.
Wow.
Now you can watch TV all day, every day, and there's something on, and then there's more to be a part of. But I think what happens is, and the one thing that stays consistent, even with the technology changing, is people still want to be loved. People still want to be involved with someone who cares about them, and people still want to be happy. And as long as we know that, then we can actually try to always fix the things that are wrong if we're going to at least admit to those things and know that we need some work with it. And listen, I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you continue to listen in. We're on every Thursday night from 8 to 10. And tell some friends.
Okay.
Come and join us and definitely call in every week if you like. I have no problem with that.
I will. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Ann.
Thank
appreciate
you,
you calling
Bye.
In. Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Oh man, and I think was she from ATL? I think she said another one from Atlanta. But Ann on the call in, thank you so much, Ann, for the check in. Shout out to Ann, and she made some real good points. And I hope folks are listening because, you know, this is how we learn. We learn from dialogue with each other and understanding where each other is coming from. And I'm so happy that she called in and offered her thoughts on what's needed. And it's interesting because technology, and again, it leads me to my next point, technology is a gigantic part of this whole game. And it leads me to television, because that's what I want to talk about the last 20 minutes, is that when Q mentioned women being in control of things, I have had female principals, and I have noticed that because they worked so hard to get to a position of power, sometimes it is very difficult for them to be relaxed because they're so guarded and protective of the position that they have come at teachers harsher than any male principal that I've ever had. And I've also noticed that, you know, some females in positions of power, because they do not want to be considered weak or taken as a joke, will sometimes be so hard on individuals that it makes you wonder. Now, to give life to Q's point about women in control of networks and things like that, Aaron Magruder, the creator of the Boondocks, one of his last episodes was about BET. And there was a female who was in control of BET, and she was violent and vicious. And her job and her life focus was to destroy black people. That's what she was talking about. And she was going to put on as much crazy programming as possible, violent programming, that she was going to put on anything that was going to destroy people of color. Now, if you've ever seen it, just go to YouTube, put in Boondocks, the BET episode, and it fits exactly what Q was speaking about, is that some sisters that get into the control of these shows will create violent shows because they believe that's what people want to see. Now, I don't know why that's the case, and I don't know why sisters will sometimes do it. And I'm not saying all sisters, but these shows, like Basketball Wives and other shows, I don't understand the need for these reality shows when we know they're not reality. And I also don't understand why folks of color flock to these reality shows when we know they're not real, or they pull from the bottom of the barrel. They scoop off the goop from the bottom of the boat and try to sell that to you as something that's quality. And it started with Flavor of Love. The network said, let's take a very unattractive man of color, place him in a house with very attractive women, and let's try to sell the world that these women are going to do whatever they can to please him because they want to be his mate, when they knew by being his mate was going to mean a contract or a deal. And so people started tuning in droves to see these women basically whore themselves for this man who's not attractive. And you can argue me all you want. Flavor Flav is attractive to his mama and the women that love him. I am a male, and I am telling you he is not attractive. And I have no issues with myself and no problems. And I listen, if a man's handsome, I'll tell you, a man's handsome. He is not. And they fed this to you, force-fed this to you to the point that people was loving it. So then the spinoff was I Love New York, because New York was a chick who didn't seem to be stable from the beginning. And she seemed crazy and acted crazy enough that they gave her her own show. So let's now reverse it. Let's take this unstable chick and give her 10, 11, 12 men who are going to do whatever to be her mate. Why? Because they get a contract and they get to be seen. And so what happens? Let's keep giving them sexual deeds, sexual things. Let's make the sexual innuendo. Let's come up with nastiness and, of course, violence. Let's give you more and more violence so you'll tune in each week. And then there was a spinoff from I Love New York. I believe it was Chance or Second Chance or whatever. I was sitting there trying to write them down. They just kept giving birth to each other, new show after new show, to where we have like the Bad Girls Club now is the birth child of some of those grandparent shows, to where damn content. Let's just have girls kicking each other's asses and then have them talk about it. Let's take women from various backgrounds, that have nothing to do with education and have them beat each other senseless and then put them in environments where they can get drunk and beat each other senseless, and now let's throw in a male to have sex with a couple of them. And vice versa, and a lot of other foolishness. And not that all these shows are run by women, but they're targeting women because women spend money on things. And I'm saying to my sisters, look at how they're portraying you. And now males are caught up in that because males like the sexual stuff, so they watch. And so we're now causing the good man to be sitting on the outside going, what am I going to do? I don't want that. So what is the good man supposed to do? And yes, I'm fighting for the good man tonight. I normally run the brothers down, but I'm not running the brothers down tonight. I'm trying to find a way for sisters to be able to see the good dude, the hard-working dude, the dude that maybe made some mistakes when he was younger. Maybe he had a baby because he didn't know what he was doing, but figured out that I'm going to take care of that baby. I'm going to go to school, or I'm going to get a skill, and I'm going to get a trade, and I'm going to do the thing that a good man does. Why does he get overlooked? Why does the hard-working man who might have two jobs get told, you ain't got no time? But the time that he does have is not enough. Why is it that the well-off dude gets called a sellout when he says he wants certain things in his woman, and automatically some women get defensive? And I'm not talking about any particular color. I'm just talking about some women that don't have. We got to start looking at the things that are being forced on us and step away from it and start looking at quality men for who they are. The brother that is going to his job and putting in a hard 8 hours, that doesn't have two or three women, but tells the truth and says, yes, I'm dating. Who says, well, I'm not really sure who I'm going to settle down with, but I'm dating. And he's being honest. Now, he may not be sexing every woman that he's with. He might be sexing somebody. Listen, but the more honest that you are about it, the better it is for you to make the choices that you need to make. I've heard dudes say, yes, I'm dating. Yes, you know, I get down, but I would love to just be with a good woman because this game is hard. And when they get with a good woman, do what they're supposed to do. I have sat with sisters who have self-destructed good relationships because they said they just can't trust the fact that he's treating them well. Now, does that make sense? I watched a sister have a guy go out of his character because he thought that she was of quality and said, you know what? I know I'm a good dude, but I got to show her I'm not like everybody else. And he was doing the things that a good man does. And the sister still could not allow herself to wrap her thoughts around that this guy really wanted to be with her, to the point that she self-destructed the relationship. And now, a year later, is okay with playing the whore role. To the point that he even says to her, so this is all you want? Yes. And she's okay with that. Why? Why down? Why put yourself at a lesser level when a person was willing to work with you to get to a higher level? And my hope to anybody listening, that you listen to the things that Ann brought to the table and the things that Q brought to the table, and that you dig in deeper and take the things that they brought to the table and the things that I'm saying and my wife said, and start to really look at your surroundings. Oh, okay, Brother Q called back in. All right, well, you know what? We got time. I'm going to have Q come back on. I normally don't take two calls, but come on, Q. Let's have Q come back on. Brother Q, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Uh-oh. What's up, brother? Call back in. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I have to answer some of your questions and put some diamonds on the table, see what glistens.
go right ahead, brother.
Here's the thing. Here's my prediction. I've lived several places when I was in my 20s. Here's what I saw in France, and I want you to think about America. In France, early 90s, the black women were telling the black Frenchmen, you're not this, you're not worthless. We rather have the white men. To prove my point, go on YouTube, look at some of the French talk shows. You'll see this conversation was being had, just like here in America now. So what happened was they start gravitating toward the Frenchmen, but the Frenchmen, while a few hundred thousand of them did marry black women, the majority of them just treated them like experiments. In the meanwhile, French women start looking at black males like, you know, why don't I go ahead and pick up one of these? So now when you go to France, there's a big shift. The black ladies are kind of by themselves, unless they're Muslim, dealing with Muslim men. And the black males are pretty much with every other race, Persians and all that, because Indians came over and they identified who's in a suit and tie handling business, and they go after them. See, but here's the thing with other cultures, especially like Persian. They don't necessarily like the black men better. Neither do Asians like white men. Let me say that again. Neither do Asians like white men. They just see the opportunity to play the game. So I go over to England, same thing. Women in Lower London and Manchester was like, oh, these black men, and rather have a white chap. Well, what happened just before I left? Same thing happened in France. So what's happening here now? And who's coming in? Pakistanis. When you look on now, you're starting to see, even my dry cleaner, who is Gujarati, I speak a little Indian.
Okay.
She tried to pick me off to one of her Gujarati friends. See, what happens
is... your work.
Right. What happens is... What happens is these other cultures come in and they start identifying. This person looks smooth. That person looks smooth. And now that Obama got a suit and tie and he's doing his thing, first time I ever heard Japanese people love on black males. I mean, love them.
That is true. They normally look right past the men of color.
Oh, man, there's a Japanese word for ghost. That was their reference to us because they didn't know how to describe us. And
unless we were in uniform, that was the only way they dated us. Unless we were in uniform and had been stationed there, not so much when they came here. It's changed somewhat now, but it was only when we were stationed there and actually could learn some of the language that they actually noticed that we were trying to assimilate into their culture, that some of the women would actually accept us. The men didn't, but some of the women did. But now that they've started to come here, there has been a global switch with the president now taking his position. Yes.
And see, and when you was over there, you was only good enough for the round-faced girls. You wasn't good enough for the narrow-faced girls. You know I know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, so, yes. I can't argue with you because you're 100% right.
So here's the whole catalyst of why I called. The prediction is very good. The prediction is very grim because it happened in France and it happened in England. Mm-hmm. When the Pakistani women start figuring out, when the Iraqi women, with the Iran women, don't think that they're not going to pick brothers. Please don't think that. I'll show you Jermaine Jackson's son is dating a woman from Iran. So so please don't think that. And you look at people like the guy that invented In Living Color, got the white girl from... Well, yeah, got the white girl from the game who works out every day to look good for the old boy. Yeah. I'm saying our ladies have realized after this last issue of I want to be the white guy, most of the white guys are not necessarily marrying. When you look at the demographics, Black Enterprise Magazine put out a great study. 83% of all black males making over $100,000 are married to sisters. But our media tells a lie that we're all chasing white girls. When you look on census.gov, the marriage certificates filed by black men are 38-43% for black women, but our media tells lies. So at some point in time, the lies is going to catch up to the truth, and it's going to be late. Right now, you got little boys. I challenge you to go ask some little boys raised by their single mom. Little boys are scared of the black girls at their schools saying this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I had two clients last year. Little boy did not want to deal with no black girl. So I say all that to say.
There's proof to that. I can speak on that as an educator in a middle school. There is proof to that, even seeping into the urban neighborhoods.
Yeah, there you go. So I say all that to say this. Got to get it right because we dudes have survived. You feel me? And the dudes coming behind us, most of them are too feminized to be leaders. Let me say that again. It's too feminized to be leaders. So, you know, why do you think that a Caucasian lady who got a very metro white guy who makes a lot of money likes this athletic, broad-shouldered looking black dude, smooth on the dance floor. Don't have it at home. So, you know, you can sit up here and demonize men all you want to. There are some bad ones. There are some terrible ones. I can bash them all day long. But those of us who are good, we're protective, bro, and we don't want to subjugate ourselves to, like, one of my clients. She makes $500,000, but her thighs rub together, but she wants an athletic dude. Sweetheart, why don't you get a chubby IT guy and call it a wrap?
Well, you know what? That goes to my point that I was saying about wanting what you're not willing to do, and then questioning why the guy now doesn't want you, and then trying to demonize him, like you mentioned. Because when the guy says, well, "Wait a minute, I'm in the gym 6-7 days a week," you're not, and you think the money or your stature is enough? No, because you're not willing to meet me. So why would I go backwards? And that's what a lot of folks don't understand, is that it's not going backwards. It's a matter of you lifting yourself up and then you two meeting in the middle and becoming a greater force together. That's what I mentioned about two good people can become a great couple. And a lot of folks don't understand that. And that's what I try to get across to folks, is, and especially sisters, when I'm working with them, is to get them to understand, is don't have non-negotiables that are connected to things that you don't want to deal with yourself, because then it's unfair to the man that you're speaking to say, this is what I want from you. But then when he turns back to look at you, sees that you're not even willing to give in on some of the same things that you're asking him to have. It's not fair. And it automatically will set things in a negative place.
Are you here in Atlanta?
No. I'm in New York City, bro. I'm in New York.
All right, I know you got to close your show, but I do single events here in Atlanta during the summer. So a lot of my stuff is from working thesis. It isn't from hyperbole. You know, it's not a red herring I'm throwing out there. So it's like when I throw these things, I bring brothers from CNN and all these places, and our ladies are so arrogant, two-thirds of them, that's why they can't entertain nobody, is because they don't know how to turn it off. But when I have somebody not of our urban culture, whether they be a black girl from a non-urban culture, has so much fun because they're just meeting people. You know what I'm saying? I had a 45-year-old lady making money who thought that my 30-year-old friend was just supposed to bow to her because she looks good and she's making money. Well, he makes money too, so what? Why does he want somebody 15 years older than him?
You mentioned something, though, but that goes back to what you had said earlier, and actually I'm going to jump off in a few minutes. It goes back to what you mentioned earlier, that individuals that come into environments who are used to dealing with certain environments or were brought up as they were coming up through those environments, when they come to events like you're talking about or just situations, they're better prepared. And sadly, many of us brothers and sisters of color, the reason why we're ill-prepared is because many of us have never been in this environment until we got there because of the work that we put in. So when we get there, we don't know how to actually handle ourselves like we should. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't learn it over time, but we blow so many opportunities because we didn't learn quicker because we had no mentors or any type of help during the come-up stages. That many of us didn't have that mentor, just like I was mentioning earlier about Naomi. We don't have that mentor to be able to say no. When you're in an environment, this is what you do. And a classic point to that when you talk about movies is The Wire. When Marlo had made it, Marlo had got over, killed all these people, now didn't have to go to jail. The money guy, the chubby white dude who was like, now I'm going to introduce you to the cast that signs checks. You're ready, Marlo. Marlo is sitting there in a suit and tie, and he's looking around, and he's shaking his hands. But his mind was still on the corners where he made his drug deals. And what did he do? He left the party, went back to the corners, beat up two dudes, and felt good about it because this is what was comfortable with him. And it had went full circle because when the Wire series started, the character that Barksdale, that was all he concerned about when the brother was saying to him, we need to get off these corners. All he was concerned about is the corners. And it actually goes full circle. But Q, listen, I got to jump. I want to stay in contact with you, man.
I want to stay in contact with you. I do Black Manhood Lessons is going to launch next month. So I already linked to you, and I'll reach out to you when it's time.
Gotcha. And I'm on Facebook, too, so if you want to hit me up, Arthur KL, actually KL Belvin on Facebook, just hit me up and send me a message. But my email is info@bravenpublishing.com, B-R-A-B-I-N, publishing.com. Just send me an email, and we can actually talk, brother. It's not a problem.
All right.
Okay? Thank you so much. Oh, my God. Brother, you know, the good thing when you do radio, and this is why I tell anybody, and I'm going to spend these last couple minutes to say this, please support GQ Palace Radio, because you're not going to get this type of radio on a regular basis, because folks want to control other people. Folks tell other people what to do. Folks want their agendas to be in place. GQ Palace does not do that. GQ Palace allows me to do what I do, to speak the way I want to speak, act the way I want to act, because I'm going to act accordingly. But they give me the freedom to do the things that I want to do on my show. Well, there are shows on every night at this same setting on your internet dial, same phone number every night. So if anything, go to blogtalkradio.com/GQ Palace. Look at the other shows that are on, the other nights that they're on, the times that they're on. Listen to some of the archives of those shows. Find other shows besides this one to support. And these are the things that we need to support, because we need more of these type programs to be able to talk about the things that are real to individuals like ourselves, whoever you are, white, black, indifferent, because we just talked about France, England, Pakistan, Iran, Japan, and the United States, ATL, New York City. That's what it's about. And shout out to Q for calling back in. Outstanding points, my brother. And yes, you were definitely on point. And I would tell anybody to listen to the points that Q made and to go check them out, because he is not lying on some of the things that he is saying, on all of the things he's saying, because he made some great, he made some points on some things we could have whole shows on. And I'm definitely going to consider that. And shout out to Ann, because Ann also brought you a point of view that she explained to you what she thought happiness was. And I really appreciate Ann saying, keep people out of your business. Now, that's another show that I definitely want to sit down and we talk about your circles. Everybody that's around you is not happy for you. And I don't care if they're smiling or whatever. There's some people smiling at you and hoping that your relationship falls apart tomorrow, because they're unhappy. And that's another show that we're going to deal with in the future. But I'm going to continue to do the things that I do to help men and women out to build stronger relationships. My current focus is on the sisters. My current focus is to be an example of the type of men that sisters hopefully can get with, and offer whatever I can to help sisters pull themselves to a place of positivity, because there's too much out here going on that's negative that I'm just not going to be a part of, that I'm going to do what I can. So I want to say this in closing. Please tell a friend to come to klbelvin.blogspot.com, klbelvin.blogspot.com. The archive will be there so they can listen to the shows if they missed it tonight. And every Thursday night from 8 to 10, this same station, blogtalkradio.com/GQ-Palace, every Thursday from 8 to 10, or you can call in 646-200-3838 and listen from your phone. So if you're traveling, you can listen to us in whatever form or fashion, but please do so and share this information with a friend, because it allows Tiffany and I to do what we do, and I love what I'm doing. So again, make sure that you listen to the archive. It'll be up either later on tonight or tomorrow at klbelvin.blogspot.com. You can also go there to listen to some of our past shows. It has been my pleasure and my honor to serve you and to hopefully bring quality radio to the airs. I want to say good night and God bless.
GQ Palace. GQ Palace.
That's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
G. GQ Palace Radio, taking the world by storm. We on over 15 different websites, 65,000 listeners and still rising within 2 years, 8 different episodes, 11 different hosts. On Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m., we have UAR, Unsigned Artist Radio, where we playing nothing but the hottest pioneers and unsigned artist material never heard before. Then right after UAR from 9 to 11, we have Love, Life, and Loyalty with Ms. Deanne Lane. Then on Tuesday, we coming at y'all with the mayor, GPS, GQ Palace Sports, from 8 to 10 p.m. as he bring you the bigger picture, doing it how he say it, hard body, karate. Then on Wednesdays, we hitting y'all with Love Fantasy, with three of the hottest females on radio right now, Angie, Rachel, and T, the Diva Squad, from 7 to 9 p.m. as they discuss their grown and sexy topics and play nothing but the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B. Then on Thursdays, they're back, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality and Relationships, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. as they bring you that truth to the matter feedback on relationship and let you know what's going on in the world of the news today. Then we hitting y'all on Friday with Love and Entertainment with Rich Money from 6 to 9 p.m. as you get random guests for the GQ General Question, interview up-and-coming artists, and special guest appearance by some of the biggest names in the industry. That's 6 to 9 p.m. Love and Entertainment with Rich Money. Then on Sunday, you have to bless the Lord. We have Miss Lavina Polite coming at you with some of the most powerful evangelists, ministers, pastors, and elders, sending out prayers, quoting scriptures of the Bible, playing gospel music. Feel free to call in and give your testimony as well. And last but not least, from 9 to 10, we have GQ Palace Radio Crossroad Temple for Brother Timmy Scribby Hunter as he interviews the best gospel and hip-hop gospel music. All shows, one number, one link, toll free, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air, or you can stay on the line to hear the show. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/GQ Palace Radio. That's GEEQUE Palace Radio. Also, you can like us on the magazine, Facebook, www.facebook.com/GQ Palace Magazine. Like our website at www.GEEQUE002.wix.com/GQ Palace Magazine. Remember, that's GEEQUE002.wix.com/GQ Palace. Radio, we doing big things. We taking it to the next level. GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment.
GQ Palace. GQ Palace. GQ
Palace. That's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
You are now tuned in to the Reality Relationship every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany at GQ Palace Radio. It's
Hey, it's Lavina, and on Thursday night I spend my time chilling with the Belvins, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality and Relationship, on GQ Palace Radio from 8 to 10. Call in with those relationship questions they got to answer. It's better be, better be, better be, better be, better be, better be.
We have some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you helped me down.
GQ Palace Radio.
Baby, you've always helped it down.
GQ Palace Radio.
Oh, yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go.
GQ Power,
Radio.
GQ Power, Radio. Power,